Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our online service, online only this morning due to the weather. And so we're really sorry that we're all not here gathered together. You know, last week we had bad weather, so we went ahead and had church here at Cleveland Christian Fellowship because the weather turned much, much better, but most people didn't realize it was turning better. So we just had a handful. And again, unfortunately, we're not able to meet together. But thank God for technology that allows us to do this. So we welcome you to our service. We are glad you are with us. And as we begin this service, let me just pray for you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. Glory to God, I pray that they prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. Glory to God. And I pray that you would strengthen them with all might in their inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit so that they might endure and persevere against every temptation, every trial, and every test and come through it victoriously. I thank you that they are led by the Spirit and governed by the Spirit and they're spiritually aware and spiritually sensitive. They know the voice of the Holy Spirit and they follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would give them and give us, all of us, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and the knowledge of you, and the knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus, and the knowledge of our victory and authority over the devil. Glory to God. And I pray that we would all see that which we do need to see. We all see and understand truths from your word about our lives and our families and our jobs and in every area of life. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory for that in the mighty name of Jesus. And then, you know, there's no praise man up here. But let's all just take a moment, and you do it right there in your home. Let's just take a moment to worship God and tell Jesus how much we love him. So would you do that with me? Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we love you, we praise you, we worship you. We are so thankful and so grateful for all that you have done for us. We're thankful, Father, for what you've done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're redeemed. We're set free. We're healed and delivered. We're saved in every way that a person can be saved. And we just thank you for that and magnify it for you. And Father, I love you with all of my spirit, all of my soul, all of my body, all of my strength, and with everything that is within me. I praise you. And we thank you for this opportunity to minister together this morning and to share the word of God with your wonderful people. And we believe and expect for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to be here with us and to be in those homes or wherever people are listening in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. All right, before we get into the message this morning, let me give you some announcements and give you an opportunity to bring your tithes and offerings to the church. And really, as we think about announcements this morning, as I was looking at everything, there's three main things we need to emphasize today. First of all, today is Mission Sunday. Glory to God. And if you don't know, you probably heard me tell this story, but we haven't said this in a long time. Many, many, many years ago, I mean, when we first started the church, the Lord said to me, designate the first Sunday of the month as Mission Sunday. Call it Mission Sunday, where people are given an opportunity, where everybody is given an opportunity to do something special for missions. You can give to missions anytime you want to, and of course, as the years have went by, people give throughout the whole month. But we call it Mission Sunday, and the Lord said, if everybody does something, then every need will be well met. So one person can give $5, and one person gives $25, and one person gives $100, somebody else gives $200, somebody else gives $30. We put it all together, and we're able to support all the different missionaries and other missionaries that aren't on our list, but from time to time, we're able to help others also. So number one, today is Mission Sunday. And then number two, the CCF's Men's Fellowship is always the first Monday of the new month. So that is tomorrow. Glory to God. And all weather indications at this point are tomorrow's going to be good. It's going to be well above freezing. So we shouldn't have any problem with that. So the meeting is tomorrow night. Tony Jenkins is in charge of that. I point over there because Tony's usually sitting over there. Not sitting there this morning, but he's usually sitting over there. And so first Monday, Las Margaritas, the one by the car wash, 5:30. Again, the weather looks really good for that. And then thirdly, and most importantly also, is next Sunday is going to be a very special service. We have Dr. Larry Hutton, is going to be our very special guest speaker. Glory to God. And long range, the weather looks normal. amen, where we shouldn't have any problems for next Sunday. So let's all come together. Don't forget Wednesday night, and then next Sunday morning, let's all get back here together. Make a special effort to come. I promise you that Larry will preach and teach under the anointing of the Spirit of God. He's an outstanding, able minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be open to the Holy Spirit, and he will move and flow in any way that the Holy Spirit wants him to move. So you pray for the service. You come to the service and come expecting, and I promise you it'll be a great, great, great service. Amen? Praise God. So this morning, if you're prepared to give your tithes and offerings, glory to God, then you can do that. You can text CCF Church, $ and the amount to 73256. That's an easy way to give, a simple way to give. But you can text again, CCF Church, the $ and your amount to 73256. Or you can go online to ccfchurch.us, ccfchurch.us, and you can click the giving link and then give that way. Praise God. And I didn't bring mine out here, but because I'm here live, I've got my offering. But let's make our, I was going to say our confession of faith, but I don't have an offering. I don't know it by heart. Can you bring me one, Caleb, real quick? Praise God. So we'll make our confession of faith as you're getting ready again there. CCF Church, $, the amount, 73256. Glory to God. Mr. Caleb Arnwine, everybody, give him a big hand. Glory to God. And so let's say this confession of faith. Praise God. This is my seed. I sow it into the kingdom of God. I sow it because I love God. And I sow it because I want to see Cleveland Christian Fellowship continue to fulfill what God has called us to do. All of our needs and desires are abundantly supplied here at Cleveland Christian Fellowship. And I believe with all my heart, I believe that as I tithe and give, the windows of heaven are open to me, money comes to me, glory to God, and all of my debts are being reduced and eliminated, and good opportunities to increase financially are coming my way. And so we're getting our jobs, our homes, our properties, vehicles, sales, promotions, and whatever else we need. Thank you, Lord, for the favor of God in our lives and the grace to prosper, as you promised us in your word. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, let's get into the word of God together. I'm probably going to do a shorter version of this, a little bit shorter. So, amen. So stay with us. I believe this will be a blessing to you. And we're going to read this morning from Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. And we're going to read verses 9 through 14. So Luke 18, verse number 9. Jesus here. And it says, he, Jesus, spoke this parable to some. Now, this is why he spoke it, to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Jesus said, two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisees stood. Now, you got to understand, the Pharisees were very, you know, they were very sincere, many of them, and they did a lot of good things. Everything they did wasn't hypocritical. They did some things that were good. The problem in this story is this man is trusting in his own goodness for salvation, and that's not how salvation comes. So it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. Well, fasting's a good thing. I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, paying tithes is a good thing. And the tax collector, verse 13, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, after we're saved, we're not a sinner anymore. But he's saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus said, I tell you, this man that said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, this man went to his house justified or made right rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So the Pharisee in this story trusted in himself. He trusted in his good actions, and some of the things he did were good. He trusted in his own abilities. He trusted in his good works to be right with God. And so that's the purpose of telling this story. And not only was he self-righteous, but he also despised others. He considered himself better than others, and he looked down on people that he didn't consider to be as moral and as holy as he was. And so Andrew Womack says this in his commentary. He said, people cannot compare themselves with God's perfect standard and feel good about themselves. You know, because the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. So you can't compare yourself to God's standard and feel good about yourself. So he says they have to constantly compare themselves to others, which breeds a critical attitude toward others that they don't feel that are as holy as they are. Amen. So they think they can exalt self by debasing others. You know, somebody said you don't make your light shine brighter by putting out the other person's light. But that's what people do. They said, well, I'm better than him. I'm better than her. I'm better than they are. But that's not what we compare ourselves to. We compare ourselves to God's righteous standard. And when we compare ourselves to God's standards of righteousness, then we all fall short of the glory of God, and we desperately, desperately need a Savior. That's why this one man said, I'm a sinner. Be merciful unto me. And so the purpose of this parable is to show that true justification comes from God as an act of mercy and as an act of grace, and not because of someone's perceived moral superiority. The truth is, we are all saved by grace through faith. In other words, we just accept, we just receive salvation as a matter of grace and not works or actions, even though our actions can be good. Amen. But we are not justified by our actions. We are justified and made right with God on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Amen. So grace means we are saved. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's unmerited favor. Glory to God. We could never be good enough to earn it. We just accept it or receive it by faith. Glory to God. Amen. So Jesus died on the cross as our substitute. You know this. He died as our substitute. As our substitute, he took our place. Our sin was laid on him, and he bore the curse that should have fell on us. He bore it for us. The punishment that should have come on us, Jesus bore that punishment for us. So now, as a matter of grace, when we receive what Jesus did for us, then we're born again, and our righteous actions never make us right with God. Obedience doesn't make us right with God. Attempts to be holy don't make us right with God. Attempts to do the right thing don't make us right with God. But watch this. Nor do they earn the blessings of God after we're saved. In other words, we were saved by grace. We don't go on to perfection by good. We ought to have good works, but those good works don't keep us in God's good graces. No, it's all a matter of grace. Can you say amen? So now, does that mean it doesn't matter how you live? Does that mean it doesn't matter whether you obey God or not obey God? Does that mean that it doesn't matter whether you do good deeds or not? Or whether you live a holy life or not? Well, you know, common spiritual sense tells you, no, you ought to obey God. Amen. You ought to live right. And that's absolutely right. But we are never to trust in our actions for salvation. That's the point. We don't trust in our actions for salvation, nor do we trust in our own goodness to earn or deserve any of the blessings of God, answers to prayer or healing or anything else. Amen. The Pharisees' actions, again, were not wrong. Tithing was not wrong. Fasting was not wrong. That was actually a good thing, a biblical thing to do. But putting his faith in his good actions and his morality as the basis for his justification with God instead of in Jesus as his Savior, that was the problem. So as a Christian, should you read and study and meditate in your Bible? Well, I mean, if your actions don't make you right with God, why do you read your Bible? Should you pray? Should you go to church? Should you treat other people right? Should you forgive? Should you obey the commandments of God? Should you serve others? Should you live right? Absolutely. Absolutely. But we don't do any of those things to earn salvation or to stay in God's good graces so that he will bless us. Which leads me to what I really want to talk to you about this morning, and that's this. I just want to ask the question, why do we do these things then? So I want to give you four reasons, really five, I guess, but four or five reasons why we should obey God. Why do I obey God? Number one, I obey God because I love him and I want to please him. That's my number one reason. Bottom line, I obey God because he's my heavenly Father. I love him. He has done so much for me. And whatever he tells me to do, I want to do it because I love him. Whatever he says is the right thing to do, that's what I want to do because I want to please him. I love the Lord. That's number one. Praise God. Listen, I know some people don't know this, but I know, and you probably know, that obeying God is the smartest thing you could possibly do. See, he's our heavenly Father, and he always has our best interest at heart. And so whatever he tells us to do is the right thing to do. Glory to God. It's the right thing spiritually. It's the right thing morally. It's the right thing socially. And whatever he tells us to do, when I obey what he tells me to do, I know, I absolutely know that it will produce something good in my life or make me a blessing to somebody else in some way. Amen. So obedience, doing what God says to do, is profitable. Glory to God. It's the smartest thing I could do. You know, God told Joshua in the Old Testament, he says, meditate in my word, and then I'll bless you because you obey me. No. He said, meditate in my word so that you'll know what to do. And when you know what to do and you do it, you are acting wisely. And when you act wisely, that will produce success in your life. That will cause blessings to come to you. And that will make you a blessing. And that will make you a great leader. So obeying God is profitable. But still, bottom line, that's not why I obey God. First and foremost, I just simply obey him because I love him. So I like something from Bob Yendian. You know, Bob Yendian was a teacher I had at Rhema back in 1978. And Bob was one of the first people that I really heard go deeper into to what we call grace teaching today or righteousness teaching. And so Bob says this. He says, our salvation was a free gift from God. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. All we did to receive it was accept it by faith. In the same way, our spiritual life after we're saved. See, a lot of people know they're saved by grace, but then afterwards they want to, you know, revert back to the law. But he says, our spiritual life after salvation is also by grace. We can never deserve or earn it by our own efforts. It too is a gift of God received by faith. Does that mean we no longer have to pray or read the Bible or attend church or give offerings to the Lord? Not to merit righteousness, we don't. We don't do any of those things to earn righteousness. As good as all these things are, they won't merit righteousness for us any more than they would merit salvation for us. Then why do we do them? We do them because we want to. We do them because we love God and want to communicate with him and hear from him and learn about him and serve him and have a part in his ministry of reconciliation. Any other reason for doing these things is selfish and legalistic. It's trying to get God to do something for us because we've done something for him. And that is the wrong motivation. We can never please God by our self-striving efforts. That's what Jesus is talking about this story. This Pharisee is trying to get God to do something for him. He's trying to earn righteousness because of his good deeds, and that can never be done. But as Bob said, and as I said, we ought to do these things because we love God. But then number two, another reason that I obey God, another reason you should obey God, is this: our obedience benefits us in our relationships with others. Glory to God. If we obey the word of God, then we will love one another. If we obey the word of God, we will forgive one another. If we obey the word of God, we will be compassionate and tenderhearted. Glory to God. And we won't do anything ever to hurt another person with our words or our actions. You know, Romans, Paul says, love does no ill or love does no harm to its neighbor. We never do anything if we're obeying the word of God, amen, that would hurt another person. Again, not just by our actions, but with our words. See, God tells me as a husband exactly how I am to treat my wife. And he tells my wife exactly how she is to treat me. He tells us exactly how we're to treat one another, how we're to treat our boss, how do we treat our employees, how we're to submit to those that are in authority over us, how we're to respond if we're a person in authority and how we should treat people under us. It tells us, you know, all of these, it tells us how we should relate to one another as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ and how we can stay out of strife and not give place to the devil to come in and cause confusion and evil and all kind of wrong things. Glory to God. So if, for instance, if the husband is obedient, there's that word, if the husband is obedient, If the husband acts in line with what the Word of God tells him to do, if the husband is obedient to do what God tells him to do in relation to his wife, and if the wife is obedient to do what God tells her to do as a wife, then they will experience heaven on earth. They will experience a beautiful marriage that's filled with peace and filled with joy, and it'll be a beautiful, 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 beautiful thing. You know, somebody says a good marriage is the closest thing you'll ever get to heaven on earth. And a poor marriage is as close as you'll ever get to hell on earth. Well, there's some truth to that. Amen. So you see, so if the husband obeys God and the wife obeys God in doing what they're told to do about their, you know, about their particular role, then it's going to be good. But if they don't, because we see this, you see this, if they don't, then things will not be good. And so that's why marriages have all kind of problems. That's why marriages, there's all kind of strife and misery and hurt and divorce and heartache and on and on and on and on it goes. Why? I promise you, one or both are not doing what God told them to do in the Word of God. Praise God. And that's not only true of the husband and wife relationship, that's true of every single relationship. So if I obey God's word, then I will have good relationships. I will have better relationships and we'll stay out of strife. Can you imagine if the whole world did unto others as you would have people do unto you? If people refused to do anything that would hurt another person, it'd be a different place, wouldn't it? So we obey God because it improves our relationships. And then number three, I obey God because if I don't obey God, what am I doing? Disobedience is not obeying God. Disobedience is sin. So if I'm not obeying God, I'm operating in sin. Now I know none of us are perfect and we make mistakes, but there's a difference in making a mistake and versus practicing some sin or living in some sin and just continually doing the sin over and over and over and over again and not allowing the Holy Spirit to deal with you and not repenting of that sin, but just to live in that sin. You know, if you practice some sin and you live in some sin, it's like planting a bad, bad seed. Well, a seed is going to grow and produce and there's going to be evil consequences. There are going to be bad consequences. So number three, I obey God because sin, which is disobedience to God's word, opens the door to the devil in my life. I said sin opens the door to disobedience, opens the door to the devil in my life. Unrepentant of sin causes problems in people's lives, even if you're born again. So if I practice some kind of sin, eventually, sooner or later, then that sin's gonna grow up and produce something horrible in my life, something that's not good, something that God never wanted me to experience. It opens the door to the devil. And when the door is open to the devil, that means you're over on the devil's territory. That means he moves in. And when you're on the devil's territory, or if the devil has access into your life, what does the devil do? He steals, kills, and destroys. He's going to mess with your finances, or mess with your marriage, or mess with your children, or mess with your job, or mess with your health, or mess with your emotions, and cause you to be sick, depressed, broke, something. He's going to do that. And so disobedience in and of itself produces like a bad seed and gives place to the devil. So I want to obey God, praise God, because it keeps the door shut on the devil. Glory to God. And then I obey God because obedience produces blessings in my life. I said I obey God because obedience produces blessings in my life. It doesn't earn me blessings, but it produces blessings, and I'll explain that in a second. And it makes me fruitful and productive and successful. Whatever you're doing in life, whatever I'm doing in the body of Christ, whatever you're called to do in the body of Christ, you want to be fruitful, don't you? You want to be productive. On your job, you want to be fruitful and productive. You want to be fruitful in your parenting skills, don't you? You want to be fruitful in your relationships. See, listen, whatever God tells us to do, whatever He instructs us to do, whatever He commands us to do, whatever wisdom principle we find in the Word of God, you know, sometimes I talk about spiritual laws. You know, if you do this, then this will happen. That's a spiritual law. Sometimes I call that a wisdom principle. So it's a spiritual principle, a wisdom principle. It's all saying the same thing. But when you act on those things and you do what God says to do, it will bring about something good in your life, praise God. Whatever God tells us to do, again, is the right thing to do. Whatever God tells us to do is the wise thing to do. And throughout the Word of God, we find spiritual laws, spiritual principles, are wisdom principles that we should live by. The Bible tells us to give, to forgive, to serve, to humble ourselves, to believe, to treat others right, do this, don't do that, and so forth. And whatever it is that he tells us to do, when we obey it, that leads to safety or provision or prosperity or victory or blessing or to being successful and productive and fruitful. It causes us to be a blessing to others. I do what God tells me to do about my money, and that's going to produce success. I do what God tells me to do about my marriage, and that's going to produce victory. I do what God tells me to do, and that keeps the door shut on the devil. I do what God tells me to do, and it blesses me. Glory to God, because these principles work. So I should obey God because it benefits me and blesses me, glory to God, and causes me to be a blessing to others. That's why I say this could be four or five. Number five would be, I want to obey God because I want to be a blessing to others. And I'm not going to be a blessing to others unless I do things the way God says they ought to be done. But when I do what God tells me to do, I promise you, it causes not only does it cause me to be blessed, but it causes me to go out and be a great, tremendous blessing to all those I come into contact with. So again, when I obey God, glory to God, it's for my good. It's for my benefit. God says, go over there. Over there is where the blessing is. Over there is where the protection is. Over there is where the victory is. Over there is where you'll be most useful. Over there is where you'll be productive. Over there is where you'll be a blessing to other people. Well, then I need to go over there. Glory to God. I just simply need to obey. Glory to God. So, glory to God. I'm made right by God, by grace, in faith, in what Jesus did for me. But my obedience and right actions benefits my relationships. My obedience and right actions prevent sin and Satan from having an opportunity against me to hurt me in some way. My obedience and right action causes me to experience benefits because I'm obeying his wisdom principles and brings me to a place in my life where I'll be a great blessing to others. But again, bottom line, I obey God for the simple reason I love him. He's my heavenly Father. I want to please him. Glory to God. And I want to live for him. It's interesting. It's interesting to note this as we kind of wind down here. The Greek word obedience in the New Testament is A-K-O-U-O. A-K-O-U-O. Akouo. It's where we get our word acoustics. Acoustics has to do with the science of hearing better. And it's a design. You know, you design a room so that you can hear really good. So sometimes people say, man, this room has really good acoustics in it. Oftentimes, if a musician comes to a church building, the first thing he's doing is, I've seen musicians walk around auditoriums and clap their, and going, they want to know how it sounds in there. Acoustics. And so a word, it's interesting that this word obedience initially meant to hear. The idea is when you hear something that's for your good, when you hear something that's right, maybe it corrects you. But, you know, constructive criticism, correction doesn't hurt us. It helps us. If we're doing something the wrong way, then we're not going to be blessed. We're not going to have success. It's not going to work. So if you hear something that's good because it's right, because it's true, because it puts you back on the right course, then you ought to obey it. And so eventually this word that was initially meant to hear came to mean to obey. So in secular Greek, the word akouo painted a picture of someone who was standing at a door with his ear to the door and he's listening intently and carefully. He's eavesdropping. He wants to know what's being said. And the idea is you desperately want to hear what's said. I mean, if somebody's really wise, if somebody's really smart, if somebody knows how to tell you the right way to do something that'll make you a better person or cause you to succeed in life, you want to hear what they have to say, don't you? Praise God. Well, multiply that by 1,000, and that's how it is with God. Praise God. So the idea is after we should intently desire and lean in and study to hear what God has to say about every area of life. And when we hear and understand God's command, whatever it is, when we hear it, When we know he's telling us to do this. We know he's telling us not to do that. Here's a spiritual principle. Here's something that we ought to do. When we hear that, then we should instantly obey. Praise God. And so we should intently listen to what God says, and we should obey what God says. Obeying what the Word of God makes me a better person. It makes you a better person. Obeying God's word doesn't earn me salvation, but obeying God's word makes me a better husband. It makes me a better man. It makes you a better wife. It makes you a better parent. It makes you a better citizen. It makes you a better friend. It makes you a better church member. It makes you a better leader. It makes you a better follower. It makes you a better child. It makes you a better employee in every area of life. It improves your life. Glory to God. And so, you know, it's like the old hymn, you know, trust and obey. Trust and obey. And you have to trust to obey. Amen? See, I like the scripture talking about Abraham. You know, God called Abraham to go somewhere that he had never seen and that he had never been to, and he didn't know exactly where he was going. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. It takes faith to be obedient. Glory to God. It takes submission to be obedient, but it also takes faith. Glory to God. So trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So listen, when you love God and you reverence Him, you have the fear of the Lord. That means you reverence God and respect God. And you have this holy awe of God. You know that what He's saying is the right thing. That's the reverence of God. So when you love God and reverence God and you have faith in Him like Abraham did and you're submitted to Him, when you do those four things, you love God, reverence God, have faith in God, and you're submitted to God, then it's easy, 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 easy to obey. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for this time in the Word we've had together with Your precious people. Glory to God. We thank You for every single person that is tuned in and for every person that will tune in. Glory to God. And we thank You for being so merciful to us and so good to us. We thank You for salvation. We love You with all of our spirit, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our body and strength. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we thank You for every single person that is listening. And we pray that they would hear the Word of God, they would take it to heart, they would understand it, and most importantly, they would go out and be doers. Or in other words, be obedient to the word they hear, for it's the doer of the word that's blessed. It's those that are obedient that receive the blessings. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Hey, again, don't forget the men's fellowship. The men's fellowship tomorrow at 5:30. Glory to God. Las Margaritas by the car wash. Don't forget our Wednesday night service. And then especially, don't forget our special service with our guest speaker, Larry Hutton, next Sunday morning. We hope to see you all then. Glory to God. And as you live out your week this week, remember this. The Lord is good, and His mercy to you, and His loving kindness to you endures forever. Jesus is Lord, and we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.